Doctor Who back on Sunday night. Completely different feel. It's part of Saturday. It's always been part of Saturday. What on earth is happening?
Well, it's a one-off, isn't it? So we can put it anywhere we like. It's a standalone episode.
And just so we get absolutely clear, because some people were saying that this weekend's episode is the end. It's not. There are two more. It's a double.
It's the beginning of the end.
Yes, it is.
But we have this one now, and then over Christmas we have a big, big two-parter, which is my farewell to it all.
What happens?
Oh, listen, shall I just tell you the plot? Because that's not guarded at all.
No.
What happens is the Master comes back.
Well, we've seen that. How exciting is that?
Yeah. And John Sim is back. John Sim is crazier than ever before. And the events of Sunday night's episode will have repercussions. Through time and space, for what happens at Christmas. You've seen it. The things happen to the Doctor which he can never quite come back from.
Can you tread very carefully now? Because I haven't seen it. It's a big thing. I'm watching it this weekend. Can you not say anything?
We've said anything.
I think we've been
at all.
No, you've been very good, but you've got that look on your face. You've got that, it's a sledge, he's a ghost, she's a girl look, and I just don't.
I won't. Sorry, don't worry. Isabel in Coventry says, "My three favourite fellas in one studio. I'm in heaven." I don't know why I read that out. It just sounded good. From Gaynor in West Bridgeford, David Tennant, "Truly the greatest Doctor Who ever. Thank you, thank you, thank you for some of the best television ever."
Oh, thank you for watching.
Do you think, you could have a very successful, and everyone believes you will have a fantastically successful career from now on, without actually doing something which is so much part of the national conscious as doing Doctor Who? Do you think that's fair?
It has a particular reach and a particular level of enthusiasm, and there's something about the cross-cultural, cross-generational appeal of Doctor Who that I think is unique. I can't actually think of anything else that does quite the same on every level of society, really. It has a love from the people of Britain, which is peculiar and lovely to be at the centre of. But yes, I think it's pretty unique.
So do you have to make absolutely certain that you stop when you're absolutely convinced that you've done it? You've kind of done every story, every emotion, you've taken it as far as you can go?
I don't know. I think I could have stayed forever, probably. I loved it. I had a fantastic time. It was in many ways a fulfillment of a childhood dream, and it would have been very easy to keep going. I was always just very keen that it never felt like a job. I was very keen to get out while it still felt fresh and exciting and like a very special time, and I'll always look back on it very fondly, I think.
The email which we started with from 10-year-old Charlie is interested in what you're doing next.
Yes.
So then, presumably you're already working on that. Fair. Mark's been talking about
Glorious 39, which is the Stephen Polyakov film, which I think opens next week. Which kind of returns to Polyakov's, well-weathered themes of guilt and things being hidden in the past. It's about the run-up to World War II. In fact, you have the one role that is kind of morally okay, because you're the guy in the run-up to World War II who says, "This dealing with Hitler is a very bad idea. This Hitler person is a terrible man." At a time, of course, in which some people are still saying, "Well, we might be able to work with it."
An enormous number of people were saying that. It's a fascinating story about a moment in history that we don't talk about very much, actually. That Chamberlain wanted to appease Hitler and got very far down the line towards doing that. And Churchill was railing against that policy. I play one of the characters who's on Churchill's side, effectively, but there is a great deal of evidence to suggest that that Chamberlain used some fairly nefarious methods of keeping his opponents down.
And what was working with Polyakov like? Because he's a very, very sort of, he's a huge dramatician. I did a piece on him for the Culture Show, and I remember that.
Is a dramatician the same as a dramatist?
I don't know. I just said dramatician because I'm sitting next to David Tennant, and frankly, I'm just as impressed as it's possible to be, so I was making it up.
Whether he's impressed.
Dramatist.
Dramatician.
What was he like to work with, that Stephen Polyakov?
I would have given you dramatician.
Would you? Thank
I'd
you
like
very
to
much.
That out. He's extraordinary to work with. I mean, I was there pretty briefly. It's a small role. Some people have been generous enough to call it a cameo.
No,
but it's. I think I was there for 3 days. He's specific. He's quick. He's extraordinarily bright. He knows exactly what he wants, and he gets it very quickly. I loved it. I had a great time doing it. I was in the middle of doing Hamlet for the Royal Shakespeare Company at the time, so it was.
Oh, so you did it whilst doing that?
Yes, I on days off, I drove up to Northampton and did it and came back again.
That must be really strange, doing something on stage and then going off to do another role and then coming back and doing, well, Hamlet
on
stage.
Yeah, it was, but it's one of those things, if you get a call from Polyakov, you take it. And the cast list was unbelievable, so to ask to be part of that, you didn't say no.
Well, he does seem to be one of those people who can literally say, these are the people that I want, and everyone goes, yes, fine, I will move my diary around to accommodate
And that is exactly what happens. I mean, it's Bill Nye, Julie Christie, Hugh Bonneville, Jeremy Northern, Romola Garai, just lighting the screen up. She's fantastic.
She's great.
Absolutely. Part.
Mark in Middlesbrough, just actually, I was reminded of this email because you started talking about things Churchillian. Dear the Three Doctors, I recently rewatched Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire and wondered if there's any chance Mr. Tennant will return in the last two films of the series. His screen time was understandably limited in Goblet of Fire for reasons of looking like Brendan Gleeson. Who of course was fantastic as Churchill.
Yes, he was.
One of the best Churchills I think I've ever seen on the telly. But while his character suffers the Dementor's kiss in the books, his movie counterpart just gets sent to Azkaban. Could Barty Crouch Jr. make a lip-licking psychopathic comeback in the Deathly Hallows?
Maybe we should talk to them at the studios and see if they've got any plans. I've not heard of it.
All right, well, they're filming now, so if you haven't heard,
The call hasn't come, it's not coming.
Yes.
Right, let's just...
Unless I'm double bluffing, of course.
Unless you are Brendan Gleeson, which is possible.
I like the way you're thinking.
Okay, here we go. Stephen Tarby, do you agree that the benchmark for scary was Blink, for tragedy, the Madame Pompadour episode, and for pathos, the Family of Blood?
I think all three of them have bits of all three, actually. And I think that's why I think all the best episodes of Doctor Who do. And I think certainly the three episodes we've got left have lashings of all three.
I would personally go for Blink and...
The Aeroplane.
And Midnight. Yes, that was the Aeroplane.
That was really scary.
That was Leslie Sharp, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I think those, I mean, maybe that it wouldn't appeal to different sensibilities, but those are the ones that lingered longer. He's thinking, what on earth is happening?
I think that's the thing. I think what scares you, it varies from person to person, and through the age groups it changes as well. I think Midnight was more of a sort of psychological horror, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, whereas... And actually, the one on Sunday night has a bit of psychological horror. It's also got a bit of a scary monster too. So it depends what tickles your boat.
But the other thing that makes all the... it is a fantastic... And it is the best thing on television. And the other thing that makes it really great is just how cinematic it is. I do the Shetland Film Festival and Douglas McKinnon comes up. Came up and he brought the Suntaran Stratagem.
He directed, sure.
Played it on a big screen. And it does look like a piece of cinema. Yeah. I mean, it is... The whole of the Doctor Who ethos is completely, you know, it is cinematic. Not just like casual television.
Well, I just saw the final two-parter. I've just seen it the last
What happens in that?
I'll tell you that in a minute. But we keep being asked, is there a Doctor Who movie? There isn't at the moment. There's no plans. It's a nice idea, but there is no answer to that question. But then I see the ones we've made for Christmas. We've sort of made the Doctor Who movie. It's kind of... I was gobsmacked by the scale of it. So I agree. I'm just very humbled to be surrounded by people who keep raising the game of what's doable on a television budget.
Trevor in Norfolk, please could you ask David if there's any truth that he's lined up to play the Riddler in the next Batman movie?
No. I it's a marvellous idea. I probably should be. But we probably need to speak to somebody about that.
Is that something that it is just a rumour and it's not something that you've heard of
It's no conversation I've had.
Right, but do conversations happen with your people? Would it be possible that there was any truth in it that you wouldn't know about it?
I think they'd tell me. I mean, that would be quite an exciting bit of news. I think they'd let me know, or ask if I wanted to do it, maybe. I was also apparently playing The Hobbit recently.
Really?
There was a huge...
How was that for you?
I was a bit tall, frankly. Right. Yeah. I do have the hairy toes, but...
Ian in Lancaster, since David has really made this role his own, I'm sure many people, including myself, are maybe slightly concerned about the warrants of the new Doctor. I'm sure he's a talented actor, so how far can David go to reassure people as to how good he is?
Well, I've not been there. Obviously, I'm not required for filming now, so I don't know. But the whispers I'm hearing from my friends who are still on the set is that Matt is rather sensational, as is Karen Gillan, who's playing the new girl. I'm not there, so I can't vouch for it firsthand, but all the portents would seem to be extremely good.
Yes, and there were similar kind of emails coming through when Christopher Eccleston was bowing
out.
It
always happens.
You say, oh, I'm not quite sure.
It always happens. I remember when I was a kid, Tom Baker left. I thought, well, clearly it will never be the same again. And then 2 weeks later, you're going, Peter Davison's the best thing ever. I think that's part of it. That's part of watching the show.
Gear, I think this is. May I, an old lady, admit that I started watching Doctor Who only because David was in it?
Of
what will I do
may
without
admit
him?
To that.
Good luck, honey, she says.
Thanks, honey.
Kathy in Aylesbury, on behalf of Tom, age 9, and Kate, age 7, I wonder if you could ask David about whether he'll be recording any more talking books by Cressida Cowell about an 11-year-old Viking called Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, please. Our family listen over and over to the four he's already done and would love him to do the remaining four in the series. He's got such a fantastic voice for the characters that no one else could possibly do it instead of David.
That's very kind. I think I've just done the fifth. I've done five now, so there's obviously one still to come. And we were having a conversation only yesterday about doing some more.
What's this? We hear about a mini-series. Is this for NBC in America?
Well, it's not a mini-series. It's a pilot. Yeah, it's a pilot for us.
But you're doing the lead
in
it.
Yeah. But it's a pilot. That's the weird... In this country, you make a pilot behind closed doors. Nobody knows about it. And we treat it all very discreetly. It's a different world in America. I went to bed last Tuesday, I think it was, having had conversations that we would had sort of come to terms for this pilot. I went to bed, woke up the next day, and I was on the front of the Hollywood Reporter. They announced this stuff over there. Because it's a different culture. Television works very differently over there, and I don't quite understand it yet. But yeah, I'm going to do a pilot for NBC.
But isn't that also because the amount of money they spend on doing pilots over there is the amount that we would spend on doing a series here? So it's
or making a movie here. Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, it is a huge thing. A pilot, whether or not it turns into a series or not, is effectively like bankrolling a film.
I guess so. Yes. So they like to shout about it.
So what can you tell us about it?
I can tell you that I play a lawyer called Rex. Who's dazzling and wonderful in court, a defence lawyer. And
Scottish?
That's not the plan. Well, let's see how the first day of filming goes.
Where's he from then?
He's from America.
Whereabouts?
He's from America.
Anywhere.
We're still working on stuff.
Make him be Estuary English again.
And he starts having panic attacks in court, so he can't go and he can't defend anyone anymore. So he ends up training people to defend themselves, and we from there lots of interesting adventures flow.
I should say, by the way, on next Friday's programme, Bill Nighy and Stephen Polyakov.
Very good.
Oh, excellent.
To talk about the aforementioned film, which you have already started.
I haven't deliberately not reviewing yet, deliberately holding that back for next week in order so
and
not to jump the gun.
Did you like it?
I did, actually, yeah.
Very good.
But then, you see, the thing is, I'm a sucker for those themes, and I am, Polyakov does deal with, guilt, history, the artifacts which appear to be incredibly innocent and actually turn out to be deep, and the fact that this all centres around records which appear to be jazz records, but when they're played are, in fact, records of people being completely hideous. I mean,
don't give too much away.
No, what I'm saying is, if I don't like that stuff, who's going to?
Right.
So look, we talked around the waters of Mars.
Yes.
And I don't think we've given anything away at all. I think it's been a very responsible conversation.
Yes,
haven't given anything away about how you depart. And obviously, when you do come to depart, that's going to be a national event and everyone's going to be talking about it. Is there part of you, when you finished and you were obviously very sad and it was a difficult thing, that felt liberated as well, that actually all these other things, I know you've been able to go off and do RSC and Hamlet and got fantastic press for that and everything, but is there a liberation in not being Doctor Who?
Do you know, there's a responsibility that you feel in doing something that people love as much as they do, and you're always slightly nervous that you'll break it while it's in your care. I've loved it. I've been really proud of the stories that we've produced. But there was part of me that was slightly nervous until I saw those final episodes, I think. I've only sort of realised this retrospectively. But having seen them last week and knowing that we've done it, I think, even better than I imagined we would, the incredible scripts that Russell's written and everything that everyone has put into it, I feel, maybe it is a liberation, I certainly feel very proud and happy that we have executed all we came to do, and that we've done it well, and that we're handing it over in rude health, and that we didn't break it. Whether that's a liberation, I don't know. But I'm because it's something that I feel very, you know, I feel like I've done all right by my 8-year-old self. That's what it feels like. I feel like I
well, that must feel terrific.
It does, actually. I feel really proud of that. I kind of think, yeah, it's okay, and he would like it.
Would your 8-year-old still prefer Tom Baker then?
Oh, of course he would. Yeah. but you know, maybe I'm coming a good second to him now. I don't know.
Well, it's always fantastic to have you on, David. Really appreciate
it's
you coming
lovely
in.
To be, can I ask Mark while I'm here? I'm in St Trinian's too.
Oh God! Oh,
how did you feel about St Trinian's 1?
I hated it. I thought,
oh,
it was one
come
of the,
on!
No, it was awful.
Stop
it was one of the
it.
Worst things that had ever happened to me. It was beyond bad.
Well, on December the 18th, you're going to be thrilled by St Trinian's.
Okay,
2,
well, let me put it this way: if anybody in the world is capable of pulling St Trinian's out of the hole into which it had dug itself, David, it is you.
What are you in that?
I'm the villain.
No, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I have a wig. What are you going to try and do? Blow it up? Burn it down?
My family has history with the family of Camilla Fritton, played by Rupert Everett in Address. And there is some
Rupert
legends.
Everett's often in Address.
And some stuff that we have to be got through.
And then when John Sim comes in, what happens then?
He's not in St Trinian's 2. But he might be on telly around Christmas playing a different type of villain.
Yeah. Ah, I see what he did there.
Yeah.
Not going to get anything else. They're well tutored, these doctors. They don't give anything.
Can I just say, a lesser person would have just lied and said, I loved St Trinian's.
What, less person than you?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to finish this?
No, I want to finish on a good note. I don't want to finish having been in the same studio as you and finish on a bad note.
I appreciate your honesty, but you will be proved wrong.
That's fine. No, well, that's fine, because it's every possibility that St Trinian's 2 will be Citizen Kane.
Exactly.
St Trinian's 1 was Rugsuckers from Mars. There we go.
Okay. David, thank you very
Simon,
much.
Simon, can I just say, this show is going to miss you terribly. I download this podcast religiously. You're an exceptional interviewer. With your charm and your winsomeness, you get stuff out of people that nobody else does, and it's a rare and fine talent. And thank you for all the hours of listening, and good luck. But I for one will miss you deeply.
Can I just, in order to just put, say, he is blessing. Staying on Friday.
I know
we
that
are carrying
too.
On doing them just so that it doesn't sound like an obit.
Yeah. No.
Yeah,
I mean,
no. We are continuing on Friday.
That's
I'm
true.
Not going anywhere, and neither are you.
Maybe I should reconsider, David.
Maybe you should stay. Who's coming? Who's replacing you?
Richard Baker. Where's the slight
oh, he's
change.
All right.
Yeah,
he's all right. Yeah, no, Richard Baker's very good too. But you'll be missed.
Well, that's extremely kind of you.
Well,
thank you.
That's all right.
I suspect you might be missed slightly more.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Matt Smith is Richard Bacon.
Yes, he is.
That's the way it's going to go.
And you know what? Come 2010, we'll both be history.
David Tennant is back. Doctor Who is on Sunday night, and we're going to be discussing it on Monday. So your thoughts as to whether it is in fact the scariest episode ever, we will take that on Monday afternoon. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Mark Knopfler's coming in just a moment.